Welcome to The Kid Is In School, where we talk about whatever we want since our kid is not here to interrupt us. But we don't have a lot of time before the bell rings, so let's get right into it. I want to talk to you about mental blocks because I want to get past mine.
I don't even know if I can talk about mental blocks. I think I have a mental block about mental blocks.
But if I bring up something and you just, your mind goes blank.
Completely blank.
Can't handle that.
Sorry, we can't even, this podcast is over. I'm already out.
Well, I know one that I'm trying to tackle is paper keepsakes in the house. Now, it started with Christmas cards, but I managed to go through most of them and get rid of the ones that didn't have any photographs in them. Then for a while, I saved the ones with photographs so I could see the progression of how people's kids have aged. And I finally got rid of those. But I still have like Mother's Day cards and birthday cards and Valentine's Day cards of all seasons. I know that sounds like cards from you, but I mean like from my mom and sister just saying, hey, happy love day.
You know, I kept a lot of those for a while, just birthday cards. And then I realized all of them would just be the card.
Yeah.
And it would have the Hallmark message in it. And then it would just say, love mom. Or it would have underlined words in the Hallmark message. You know, like
thoughts
and wonderful
yeah.
Son, you know, just
special.
And those are, I mean, obviously they're emphasizing the what's meaningful about that message to them.
Yeah, like if it said, you're in my thoughts, it's like, yo, no, he really is.
Yes.
I'm going to underline this part.
Yes, I'll circle it, arrows pointing around. All around it. But that doesn't necessarily need to be kept. Yeah, it's not a handwritten letter with their own thoughts and expressions in it.
Right.
So I think that I remember the feeling of my parents caring for me.
Yeah.
And I don't need a card that doesn't, it expresses it, but it doesn't personalize it.
Right. And I guess it, looking at it doesn't bring you back to those fond moments. Like, you've got memories already stored, so you don't need to
that's true.
Jog them by seeing a card.
And I don't necessarily even think that I remember the birthday party associated with the card.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I go, oh, well, we did this on my 15th birthday.
Right.
It's like, I don't really remember what we did on that one.
That only works in movies when someone looks at an object and they're flashing back to a very detailed memory.
Yes. Do you like remember like your 16th birthday party? Because that's a big one. Like there's the quinceañera and there's sweet 16 parties.
My quinceañera was when I turned 15 and was Hispanic. And,
okay.
But so, my sweet 16, I do remember one part of it. I don't think I had a big party. But I probably had a cake because I was still living at home and we always had a cake. But I know that I could drive home and that my mom requested Happy Birthday Sweet 16 by Neil Sedaka to play on the radio on my favorite oldies station. So either she told me to listen
very
to that.
Very cool kid, by the way.
Very cool kid. Either she knew me to a T and was like, she'll hear this. Or she told me, hey, don't forget to turn on the oldies station when you get home. But I still didn't expect it. I didn't know that that's what she requested. But, oh, it was such a sweet. I'll never forget that. Like, that really
that's a big deal.
Was a special memory for me.
Yeah, especially, you know, being in Indiana, it's so far removed from show business, or people's average lives are so far removed from show business, that a local radio station
mm-hmm.
seems about as close to Hollywood as you're ever going to get.
Oh, you're not just, yeah, you're not kidding. I was going to say you're not just Whistling Dixie, but now I decided that that's a racist phrase.
Is it?
Well, the song Dixie, like,
well, yeah, if you hear that playing, run.
Is that the is that the Dixie they're whistling?
I don't.
They should change
know.
It to "You're not just whistling Dixie chicks."
Look, I didn't even know what quinceañera was.
Quinceañera.
Yes. Well, that I said it with the Dixie version of that.
Okay, I'm gonna say this again. You're not just whistling Dixie chicks. That's funny.
There we go.
No, they even took the Dixie out of their names.
So now they're just the chicks.
They're just the chicks.
Yes.
Which once they learn about the patriarchy, they're gonna change that name too.
Yeah.
They're gonna be called the women.
Yeah. I'm still hung up on quinceañera.
Yeah, that's the closest you've said so far.
Okay.
Quince is the word for 15.
So that's what it means, 15.
Año is like a year, so the 15th year.
I feel
era.
Like if you don't know another language at all,
yeah,
and you just hear a word, you go, and they're like, it means 15? And you're like, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like one of those Chinese caricatures or characters. Sure, no.
A character?
Character,
okay.
Yes. On somebody's arm, the tattoo.
Right.
And they're like,
it means nothing to you?
Well, they just think, well, it means peace, love. And they're like, actually, it means hairy booty, but okay, you know.
Your tattoo artist hates you.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, what were we first talking about? Oh, yeah, the paper keepsakes and how, okay, you said you used to save them and then you decided not to.
Yeah,
well,
I finally got rid of them.
Well, let me go backwards in what we talked about. First of all, I don't even know if you can request songs on the radio anymore. Like, can you even call in real time, or is this all pre-recorded?
First of all, is there radio?
I don't know. There's Mario Lopez on like LA stations, but I feel like all those are pre-recorded from his house and then, you know, sent over the
airwaves. Sirius XM that I am very aware of.
That's a real station.
Well, it's not a station. It's a form of getting your radio. Like
it's a channel, a streaming channel.
No, it's not. It's a separate thing from radio. You know how FM and AM are two separate things?
Yeah.
So you don't go, well, this is the FM station, this is the AM station. You
those are channels.
Those are the AM channels.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a Sirius XM
channels.
Yeah. So they've got like 150
it's a series
of them.
It's a series of channels. It's a platform, let's just say.
Yes, if you call AM and FM a platform.
Well, I call them channels, but
those are based
on
radio waves.
For you. Okay. And Sirius is not.
It's satellite radio.
It bounces off the satellites in outer space.
Yeah, so
it's space waves.
So I don't know what they use other than just a digital signal.
Once again, my friend, you're getting me lost in the weeds. I'm trying to get us back to the fact that I just want to say this one thing. Movie tickets. I used to save movie tickets, and because movies I thought were memorable. I knew who I went with. I knew, you know, the year it came out, so I could picture my age, and I knew even I could imagine the theater that was if it's shown on the ticket. Okay, I was in New York or I was in Indiana, mm-hmm. But I looked at them now. I was looking through my college scrapbook fixins, like whatever it was I was gonna put in a college scrapbook. It's all in this envelope, mm-hmm. And you can't read a word on the movie ticket stub.
I've noticed that. Yes,
the ink is gone.
All the ink disappeared. I saved all those tickets too, and now it's just like these kind of salmon-colored pieces of rectangular paper.
No one who opens that time capsule is going to know what that was.
No.
That's so sad to me. So I feel like it was all in vain, saving these little mementos. And like you're saying, that's not really what ties you to the memory.
No. And the thing is, like, I threw a bunch of that stuff out. Well, you know, my parents have... I've not lived in my parents' home for quite a while, a couple decades.
At least 4 years.
At least 4 years. Yeah. And... So at different times when I go back to Indiana, I would clean out certain things of the stuff.
I remember that. I was amazed year after year how you could still keep cleaning things out.
It was almost like going to the general store. I came back with more every time. And so one of the times there was a bunch of paper stuff like that, and I threw a bunch of it away. And part of that, though, was I had all of my Nintendo 64 game boxes.
Oh.
All of them just had been folded and then kept. And I thought, should I keep these? And this is right before I got into video game collecting again.
And we all got rid of our jewel cases of CD holders.
Yes, and all those were gone. And so, like, I thought, let me look on eBay and see what these are going for.
Smart.
And at that time, they were going for next to nothing. Uh-huh. It was kind of like a couple bucks each. And I thought, look, for 15 bucks or 30 bucks of just saving all of these paper things, I'm just going to toss them.
Yes, you made the right choice.
At the time. Now all of those are worth considerable more money.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, my parents' generation, or I guess everyone's parents' generation, say, Mom threw out this thing. You know, all my baseball cards, threw away all this. My comic books that are all worth so much more now.
My mom talks about her Betsy Wetsy doll or something.
Yes. And
Susie cries real tears.
The problem is I was the parent in the situation. I came back as an adult and threw away my kid's stuff.
You did it to yourself.
And did it to myself, whereas I was like, oh, and I wish I had those now.
Well, you know what the professional organizers will tell you is that you weighed that opportunity cost and you made a sound decision. It wasn't worth the mental headache of lugging this stuff around for 15 bucks.
It was.
I will pay you $15 to throw that away.
I know. Well, that's the thing. It was just paper, though. I could have kept that.
It's so flat.
It's so flat. And like, out of all the stuff I kept, that's the...
Pillow Pals, meanwhile, take up an enormous amount of space.
So I wish I kept those things.
Those wrestling buttons.
But I think that because of something like that, like, I've always been a bit of a collector. So when I was a kid, and I don't know if I've talked about this before, I don't think you ever saw my kid room in my childhood room.
I don't think I did either.
As it was, like when I was a kid. I think you, my parents turned it into just a guest room that we stayed in. But I used to have lining the walls were toys that were still in their original package.
Oh my gosh, if I had seen that. If I had seen that when I met you, it would have given me a glimpse into what life would be like living with you. Because yes. I did not know that about you, and now I'm in a house where there's toys on the wall.
Well, to be fair, you bought most of these.
I do. No, I like what makes you happy, but I just think it's funny that that's not how I envisioned life.
No, well, that's the thing. Like, and I think the funny thing is that, like, if you had, even at that time when my parents had turned it into a guest room, little did you know, right behind the closet door was just stacked up plastic Tupperware containers full of unopened toys.
They were all just pressing right against their plastic and just silently begging you to open them. Ooh, yeah. Remember us?
There are some.
Have us on display.
There's a professional wrestler, Matt Cardona. He used to be Zack Ryder in WWE, but he's
not. Oh my goodness, these anymore. Names. I love how their former performing name was just another average name.
Well, the
he used to be Bob Johnson.
Well, during certain eras of wrestling, people have used their own names, and other ones, people change their names because WWE wants to own the name of somebody. Mm-hmm. So they own probably The Rock. They own The Undertaker. They own Hulk Hogan. Actually, they don't own the Hulk part. That's Marvel owns that.
Oh, my.
But the Hogan part they own. But John Cena is his real name. So there's a couple of them where it kind of snuck through certain eras of their own name. Well, during the Matt Cardona years, it was, nope, you got to be Zack Ryder, which is just another normal person's name.
Yeah, it totally could pass for an average. I think I went to school with a Zack Ryder, a couple of them. Okay, so what were you saying about Matt? He owns
he's a big toy collector.
That's right. He's the toy collector
and
guy.
He's got a YouTube channel where he goes through and he collects particularly wrestling toys because he's a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. But some of these things that he has are one of one, super rare, like Mattel. This was the prototype thing that they use for it. So they're
How do you have one of one? But these toys were mass made.
Yeah, well, then he will buy some of these toys that are expensive, and he then will open them, and he calls that letting them breathe. You got to let it breathe. And I'm like, oh. I know some collectors like watch that stuff and go, ooh, it's like in the insides. They're just like, oh, it hurts to watch somebody open this.
That's how rich he is.
Yeah, this thing that has been unopened for 30 years, you bust it open. You know?
But it's so zen. It's so use it or lose it. Yeah. The carpe the diem with that Matt Carbone guy.
Yeah, see, like, I get what he's like. I want to put the figures, I want them on display, and I don't want them in their boxes. I want them out.
Okay.
And I want a fresh one that nobody's touched and all this.
Huh.
I kind of get that, but to me, I don't care if somebody's touched it. If I want something on display, I'll get one that's already open. I'm not going to get the thing. So,
you'll buy one on eBay where the pointer finger's melted.
Yes, that's fine.
It looks like a fist. It'll work.
I know. That's the problem, though, in New York City, is that we just do not have enough room for all of this stuff. I don't have a separate room where I can display things. So I have a corner in a room that has some display stuff.
I know. When you said I'm a bit of a collector, I just thought you and I need to get hypnotized into not being collectors anymore. My other mental block is obviously nail polish. And our daughter even broke it down. Because, you know, I've collected a lot through the years. And it does serve a purpose because I have a little hobby Instagram where I showcase these differences. But at the end of the day, I'm never going to go through all of them and use them more than twice. So really, I should just be testing them, showcasing them, and then donating them to a shelter or something. But I just can't bear to leave a huge plastic Sterilite box of them on the curb for humanity, even though people who like nail polish will come pick it up. It's not a raccoon stealing it and building a nest out of it. It's real people that will love it. But I need to know that they're going to care about it the way I care about it.
My mental block in this stuff that I've collected is getting over the fact that this has value and I want to maximize the value out of it.
Yeah.
And so, like, just the idea of just setting something out or just donating it when I'm like, yeah, but I collected it, I paid this for it, and I know it's worth X amount more than what I paid for it, so I want that value.
Yeah, it's like they're throwing money away.
Yeah, it's like throwing money away. Whereas, like, I don't feel that same connection with clothing. Mm-hmm. I feel like I wore it. I got my use out of it. I don't need to keep it for the rest of my life. I am okay with donating that stuff. Mm-hmm. But with the video games and the toy stuff, it's just like, oh, I got, even if somebody were to offer me half the value of it or maybe what I paid for it, mm-hmm. I think it'd be like, yeah, go ahead and take it. Mm-hmm. But if it's ever like low balls,
you're like, how dare
I'm
you?
I'm like, no, I'm not even dealing with you.
And then you trip over it on your way to making a sandwich.
And so then I have piles of it instead of just going, let me just get rid of it.
My goodness. I hope the viewers at home or the listeners at home are picturing us living in just a hoarder's house of newspapers stacked high that we have to play Marco Polo just to find each other.
That's the thing with hoarding is like a lot of times they get killed by their own passion.
You share the same trait as your mom, a gift I would say, which is tucking it out of the way. Like, you don't know how many Tupperware lids she's saved until you open a certain cabinet and then find them all. So she's good at keeping things mm-hmm. tidy, and I think you are too. And I'm gonna say so am I, except my last mental block I was gonna cover with you is piles on the floor. I do see some strategic piles. Like, there's some stacks of shoe boxes, and what's in them is like mementos. I don't need those mementos. I don't need to save them in shoe boxes. What am I doing?
Is one memento that you've been saving, and I don't remember exactly who gave it to you.
Oh, tell me.
Maybe it was a wedding gift or something like that.
Oh.
But it was a little porcelain thing, and I shattered the thing.
Ixnay, don't tell that story.
I shattered it, and you kept it, and you're like, I'm going to meticulously glue this thing back together.
I did. First of all, that one, you're right. That one, that's how we're going to start breaking the cycle. I'm going to bust that thing again on the street. When, you know, we live near a place that has they blow glass, and like once a week they just dump all their glass into a dumpster, and that gets put into I don't know what, but there's always glass on the street afterwards. So I can just
garbage truck comes on.
Oh, it's the garbage truck that takes it, but he misses every time. He's just he's got bad aim.
Yeah, it's like those, you know, ever see like a video where somebody's about to take a drink of something and they just miss completely and like it hits the side of their face and their shoulder?
Yep.
That's what the garbage truck does.
That's the garbage
truck.
He could care less. They don't pay him enough. So anyway, I think my trinket could go there. But you know why I can't get rid of that? One, anniversary present. It's very meaningful, first of all. Like, I don't know. It's just the thought that they would take the time to give me this. But the other thing is it belonged to two people who have passed away that I cared about a lot when I was little. And so to me, it's not the only thing I have of theirs, and it doesn't really make me remember them. It just takes up space. It's still wrapped in bubble wrap, and I think now it's on our kitchen counter for some reason because I almost threw it away, but I couldn't bring myself to.
I did see that recently, and I thought, are you getting rid of this?
I should. Because it wasn't even – it was like a generous – I don't know. It was just a thoughtful – thing, like, here, put this on your shelf if you guys ever have a home. That's what it was. And so we didn't even have a place to live yet when I got it. So I thought, oh, this will be special. But it didn't last long before it got broken.
No, it lasted for quite a while.
We kept it on a shelf? I thought we just kept it in storage.
No, I think it was in storage, but it was something where I was pulling something out of storage, I think.
Yeah.
And then just, it's like something you would see in a movie where, or really more like a Looney Tunes cartoon, where somebody sets that down and then sets an anvil right on top of it, is kind of what I did.
And you hear a crack and you're like, uh-oh, that can't be good.
And I was like, ooh, boy, that's not.
I don't think it made it.
Yeah, this is dust.
Well, that annoys me, yeah, because I remember that now, that we pulled it out of storage, so it's like it never even got to live the life it was supposed to. It already lived its life. It is already belonging to the other couple, so I need to let it go. But I don't like anything that is tied to people I care about. That's the problem. Like people, if you care about me, never give me anything because I'll just keep it, even if it's
forever.
A twist tie. One of the weirdest things I have is the little sister of an old friend made a friendship bracelet when she's 12, and it's she's like in her mid-30s now, and I still have it. And it wasn't even a completed friendship bracelet. She wasn't finished with it. Either that or it was like a keychain, but it was made of just woven plastic. Woven plastic! Years, I would just let it bounce around my mom's house, and then when I moved my apartment, and then when we lived together at this house, and I just can't let it go because I'm like, aw, 12-year-old gift. Gift from a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's not 12 anymore.
But I get it because like,
she doesn't know she made it.
There's a certain thing where like sometimes, you know, for me, a mental block might be value of something. This is worth something, so I don't want to just get rid of it. which is probably a hoarder's mentality.
Still makes sense to
but
me.
But then there's the ones where it's like, this is worth nothing.
Yeah, to nobody.
But I've had it for 35 years. I had a, well, this, I don't know exactly how long I kept that. Maybe 25 or 30 years.
Yeah.
In sixth grade, because my sixth grade was still part of elementary school, the year when I went to seventh grade, they moved sixth grade up, I think, or to middle school.
Okay.
So as the last sixth grade class, or one of the last, they gave us like these little paddles.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go have everyone sign them.
Oh.
And so we all went, everyone in the class went around and signed each other's paddles.
Like a ping pong paddle?
It looks honestly more like a cutting board.
Oh, yes, the wooden paddle.
Yes, a wooden paddle.
Ugh, my principal had one of those in his office, and I think they rumored that he used to spank people with it, but I can't imagine.
I always heard that, too. We had the same rumors. But that thing I had forever, and then I, you know, when my parents finally did move out of their home and into a home with my sister,
mm-hmm.
I found that thing again, and I was like, do I keep this? So I had it around. I think I finally threw it away here, but I was like, mm-hmm. I think what broke the cycle for me,
yeah,
was looking at it and go, I only remember two of these people. Like, there's like two or three names where it's like, oh, I know them.
Best friends forever. Yes. Tiffany. Who?
Yeah. Well, some names are a little more generic, and some were like, because there was one where it'd be like Ben. And it's like, well, I remember, you know, Ben, and I still kind of keep in touch with a couple.
He was your pet mouse, and you wrote a song about him.
Yes. I'm not that old. And so I looked at it, and I was like, well, I don't even know which Ben this is.
Right.
And it's the way 11 or 12 year old would sign something, so they probably wouldn't even know. Like, I don't know.
They wouldn't recognize their own handwriting, right, as an adult.
So that kind of let me go, like, yeah. And nobody, I mean, I guess if anybody could be considered even on the spectrum of celebrity, mm-hmm. out of that class, it's me, not anybody else. So it's not like I went to school with Leonardo DiCaprio and I still have his signature or something.
Oh,
like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. Maybe not. I say that like I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I just remembered I had, let's just keep going into the weirder things that you saved, because I was going to name your IU pillow from college, because mm-hmm. all the fluff inside it had disintegrated and it was just like two lumps, maybe a 5 cotton balls left in there. And we used it for the dog bed because you couldn't bear to part with it. And now I think we've shrink wrapped it in the closet. Like, I still don't think we let it go.
I don't know if we still have that one.
Okay.
That and the IU blanket. So those were two things that my mom got me,
mm-hmm.
Right before my freshman year of college.
Oh, it was her send off. Like, and so it was, think of me, son.
It was, well, I think it was just more of like, hey, we're stocking you up for college and we're sending you off.
You're a man.
And so
now,
keeping that, definitely there was a connection there where like, this is, which is funny because there's no writing on it. Like, thinking about the cards, like, you know, there's no personal message, but these were personal gifts to, like,
mm-hmm.
that I do have a memory tied to them.
Of course.
But then they just wore out and there was just only so much.
What do you do?
You know, they're just kind of done.
And I remember, now I'm frugal and my mom modeled that for me, and she would save towels and washcloths till they were threadbare. Like, oh, just growing up, you know, and those were the softer ones anyway. You know, you wanted those, or you could fit your finger through a hole when you're playing in the tub. Like, I didn't mind that they were just frayed. But that is one thing I am able to do now as an adult, is the second it shows the slightest bit of wear, if it's something I bought, you know, no sentimental value, I will donate it or, you know, toss it.
Mm-hmm.
Fabric donation, by the way. Once I saved a guitar pick that someone had signed with Sharpie, but the Sharpie started to smudge off. So I put clear top coat on it, and then the top coat just flaked immediately and you couldn't see any of the Sharpie anymore. And I'm like, now do I save this guitar pick because I remember what was on it?
I know. There's things like that. When I was a kid, I remember there was a quarterback that played in the NFL for the Colts. He was the number one pick for the Colts in, I believe, 1990, Jeff George.
Mm-hmm.
But he had gone to Warren Central High School. Then he went to Purdue for like a year, and then he transferred over to Illinois, and then he was drafted to the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all that just to be like, this was a guy that was from Indiana and kind of spent his early part of life in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And So somebody knew him, like was a teacher of his or something like that, mm-hmm. in our church. And so they got assigned Jeff George football for my dad because my dad was the preacher there and they knew Jeff George. So they got it for him.
Nice.
And we had that football for a lot of years. But the thing is, just certain pins will just start to fade away on the thing. Mm. And so we had it still. And at some point, I think we just drew over it with more Sharpie.
Oh, no.
And you go, like, just oh, this is faded. So let's just
make
the signature darker. You know?
Can you imagine if someone did that with Abraham Lincoln's signature?
Oh, we just couldn't see it anymore. So we just wrote over it, you know?
Ecce Homo, the painting that the woman was supposed to restore, but she blurred it too much and then she tried to paint over it.
Yeah. That. Well, it was the face of Jesus or something like that. And it turned into
like a monkey.
Yeah. It looked like one of those howler monkey faces.
Yeah. That's what I'm picturing happens when you try to, or did you ever try to like forge your parents' signature? I already know the answer is no, but if you ever tried to mimic your parents' signature, it would be so slow and loopy and bumpy. It wouldn't look a thing like theirs.
Yeah. I can't say I never tried because I don't remember if I ever tried. I think that I know I probably hid some stuff. So I know my parents did not see all my report cards. So there was something. Somehow I made it through where I don't know if I had, because you had to have your report card signed.
You can get away with that in the Duggar household, but how do you get away with that? With you're the one kid that they have to keep an eye on.
Well, probably the same way for me. It's like for our daughter, I don't necessarily know when the grading periods are over. Mm-hmm. So if she was responsible for giving me the report card, mm-hmm. then I might not get it. But we keep up on it because I'm like, yeah. The teacher
thanks
emails
to
us
a billion texts. Yeah. Yeah, the school also sends a lot of
and
texts.
And we didn't have that when I was a kid. They didn't email anybody. So
snitching.
Yeah, I the only thing you might get is a phone call home, mm-hmm. and that was tantamount to somebody in the neighborhood calling. It means you're in trouble. Like people don't call your parents about you to brag about what the wonderful thing is that I saw them
doing.
That's
the truth. And you know what's worse than the phone call? Someone comes to your door to talk to your parent.
That's
and you
even
see
worse.
Him through, yeah, it's the worst. You see him through the window. There was a lady that came to our door, and it was because it was our neighbor, and she had flowers. I thought they were dandelions, but they weren't. They're like a marigold. They're a flower that looks a lot like a dandelion, but it's bright orange. I would put gum in those. And I had a reason, and it wasn't against her. It was her husband. He was like the neighborhood creep that nobody liked. He would yell at the kids. He was a crank. And she was the sweet old lady that nobody ever talked to. So I didn't recognize her when she came to the door. And I was like, Mom, there's some old lady at the door. And you could hear through the door. It's like paper thin. So my mom talks to her, and then she brings me in the room, makes me apologize to her when I realized, oh, she's the lady with the flowers. I said, I'm sorry I put gum in your flowers, ma'am. And she left. And then my mom, the only thing she was upset about was the fact that I yelled old lady through the door. Because she's like, I don't know that woman. And we never talk. She comes here to like complain about my kid. I don't care about that. But you do not shout through the door. There's some old lady. How do you think that made her feel?
That's the problem.
I thought that was so funny. That
not the desecration of property.
Nope. She didn't care about that lady's dumb dandelions.
Haters.
Oh, that's my gosh. There's so many haters. That neighbor was a hater. Because I was low-hanging fruit, I think. I was right next door. I wasn't the only kid that pranked their yard. Let's just put it that way.
That's what they're. When you're a kid, that's who your haters are some old people in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I know. And I'm
they're walking through my yard. They were climbing my fence.
We were really the menaces to society, but we just took it all out on them. Because like, if you read any children's book about the scary old person in the neighborhood, that's the witch or that's the creepy guy. Like, you know, in Home Alone, the neighbor puts the bodies in the trash cans.
Yeah.
Kids have a way of making the grown-up the scary person.
The salt turns the bodies into mummies.
No, 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 no. All right, you got
we
haters
can't afford
in your
that
life?
Song,
so. And I'm sorry.
Luckily, whenever you try to do a song, I can't understand at all what it is. It's like, I have no clue. So I know the algorithm will never pick it up.
Do you have haters? Do you sweat the haters or do you shake them off?
Oh, at this point in my life, there's probably a couple different versions of haters I will have in my life. One is definitely the internet troll, which
they can't get enough of you.
Yeah. Which for the most part, I don't get a ton of that hate. You know, some people on their videos or whatever get just tons of hate. And sometimes comedians specifically are trying to do
things. They say something they know is controversial, or they engage with a troll instead of just deleting it or ignoring it.
Yeah, because they know there's going to be more eyeballs, and this is going to take off more if there's more.
Oh, I thought it was because they're neurotic and they can't help themselves.
I think that could be some, but I think definitely there's plenty of comics that are like, if I just say the most outlandish thing, or right. If I put a topic up that I know is controversial, and I'll put one of those clickbait titles to it and stuff, then people will engage. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to put funny stuff out. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, like, there was one guy that wrote underneath one of my videos last week, just not funny. The mm-hmm. two words, mm-hmm. not funny.
Just so you know, sir.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted you to know. That was for you.
Right. And at first, you know, because sometimes I'm like, well, I could just delete those, or I could just leave them up, or I could just whatever. And I thought, I just will write him, and I just wrote underneath, what exactly do you hope to accomplish with this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who are you talking to?
But
it is funny. Sometimes people just comment assuming it's only other people reading it, not the creator of the content.
I've had that happen where I will, because I will joke around with some people. If they have something that I feel like is a little more specific than just not funny. Mm-hmm. Although some people have said, this guy's not funny. I don't like this guy. Mm-hmm. Which every comedian ever has had that, right?
They do, but I like thinking that it's personal.
Yeah.
It's something you're doing.
But then I will sometimes respond to those and go, well, I hope you find someone on the internet that you do find funny.
Yeah.
You know, or fun. That's nice. Hope you find somebody on YouTube that you do like, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes people go, oh, no, I was just saying, you know, and like,
yeah.
Then some people don't respond at all. Some people try to double down. But there are certain people where I just, you know, well, just cut off communication with. There's some people, if people put anything that I think would be harmful to others, like racist, homophobic, those type of things underneath my videos, mm-hmm. I delete those because, look, it's not going to hurt my feelings, but it also, you're not going to put that on my stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So there was the not funny guy. And so I did write that, but the thing about, well, you know, what do you hope to accomplish with it? But I had this weird feeling with it. And so I was like, who wrote this? Because this is Facebook.
Yeah. Is it a bot? Is it a Russian?
What is this? And so I just went to that person's page, and we're friends on Facebook.
Weird thing.
Yeah, which I don't know him, but you know, that could be over the years. Who knows how many people have friend requested me and I've accepted. And so it said something that he was a comedian. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know your name and I don't know you. So let me, you know, that's a first red flag. Cause I can't say I know every comedian that ever existed, but I know a large chunk of the community.
And comedian code is not to write not funny on each other's Facebook
exactly.
walls.
That's another thing where you go, And so I looked at his stuff and he has some videos on YouTube.
Yes.
None of him performing.
Ah.
Except like him in a car ride with an old person. But
sounds like my Instagram.
Yeah, but anytime he would like have a video of stand up, mm-hmm. it would be a shaky camera shot of a different comedian where he's sitting in the audience. And I'm like, what is this thing?
Yeah.
So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to delete my comment. I'm going to delete his comment. And I'm going to unfriend him just quietly.
The gentlest thing I will say about him is he sounds not self-aware.
That's a large chunk of society.
Yes, yeah, that's a broad umbrella that can include any number of, you know, mental defects. But I just think he didn't think when he wrote it, and I don't think he ever. Some people, why do we do that? I don't think I've ever done that, except like, you know, I've shared that one time I just couldn't stand to see the way a dog was being carried, so I had to say it on a viral video, and I hope they deleted my comment immediately. Shut up, lady.
Yeah, I think that
you can't carry a dog by his underarms. It's rude.
You might hurt the dog.
It's bad for his back.
Yeah, like this video is from 1998, lady. Yeah. That dog's been gone for a long time.
Dear America's Funniest Home Videos, how dare you air this picture of a dog hitting a man in the groin with a baseball bat? Yeah. That could have hurt the dog's teeth holding a bat that way. Mm-hmm.
That's one of my type of haters. Do you have a type of hater?
Well, you know what? Your story that you shared reminded me that I was a hater to Sugar Ray. of all people.
Sugar Ray? Like band? The entire band?
Well, Mark, is his name Mark McGrath?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. The lead singer of Sugar Ray, who I thought mistakenly was Sugar Ray. Just like Darius Rucker is named, not named Hootie. But why name your band a guy's name if it's not your name?
Well, first of all, have you ever met a Hootie?
What about Herman's Hermits? Was there no Herman in Herman's Hermits? Were there no Hermits either?
I'm still stuck on the fact that you thought Hootie was a guy's name. Like
Hootie and the Blowfish? Yeah, I thought Hootie was the lead singer and the Blowfish were
I understand that, but you go, why name a guy's name?
Yeah.
I've never heard any person named Hootie.
Oh.
So like the fact that you somehow
well,
made
what
that,
else would it be? A fish's name?
I much more than that. Like
Come on, you didn't grow up with a few Hooties.
It's on par with you saying that there was you thought there was two people in the band. One was named Hootie and one was named Blowfish, and you thought these were both guys' names. I'm like, that's
the Blowfish, by the way. I got into it with Sugar Ray himself, Mark McGrath, because on Twitter, in the early days of Twitter, you don't think that the people you talk about are listening to you because mm-hmm. they're just not in front of you. So I thought I was listening to I Just Wanna Fly and I don't remember.
Can't afford that, by the way.
Sorry, just said too much. And I was thinking like, well, these lyrics don't make much sense. And so I was poking fun at the lyrics and I said, all around the world, statues tumble for me. What an ego. And then the real Mark was like, it's actually crumble, thank you, or whatever, like get the lyrics right before you make fun of them. And I don't know if I'm even singing the right lyrics, but I'm just saying in the concept of the tweet, I was making fun of the lyrics and he corrected me on them because I got them wrong. And I did the classic thing that you just talked about. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm such a big fan. Love that song. I was just trying to be funny. I'm just funny on here. And he was just like, ghosted me. He didn't say a thing. Mm-hmm. He was like,
It's better than him calling you a supposed comedian or self-proclaimed comedian.
Good job. Yeah. If you engage with somebody who really wants to get into it with you, gosh, they will just not stop. Mm-hmm. I had the longest back and forth with a dude who thought I stole his stupid idea. Okay, here we go. I'm censoring myself. But anyway, he thought I stole a joke concept and he had no, since he's a civilian and not a comedian, he doesn't even understand parallel thought or the fact that a bunch of people also wrote this joke if you search it. So anyway, he didn't do any of that homework. He just decided I was some kind of joke thief and how dare I. And so I, kept responding to him over and over again, not about this, but about anything, just try to be funny. And he just kept digging it deeper, like, says the unfunny person. That sounds like something a hack would say. Like he just kept going. But like two nights into it, he had a good smile on his face. He had a nice, what am I talking about?
I don't know.
He changed his tune. Sorry. He changed his tune.
He had a nice smile on his face. I'm like, I'm not familiar with that expression.
It's an old expression. It's a Sugar Ray lyric.
So he changed his tune.
He changed his tune and was like, oh, you actually were really nice about this. And you're right. I was wrong. You weren't the only one that came up. I'm not the only one that came up with this joke. And you did write yours first. And like, he just backtracked the whole thing. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a jerk about it. That's my favorite thing is when other people like admit they're wrong and then I just like eat it up.
I remember that one specifically because he was very intense on like, you took my joke and I happened to search it and I found somebody else had posted it before either of you.
Yeah.
It was a topical joke. Mm-hmm. So it was something where it's like, because it was topical, several people came up with a very similar joke. It wasn't like word for word, but it was very close.
Right.
Like, and so I was like, this other person posted before you. Does that mean you stole it from then? And then he did the thing where instead of just saying, oh, you're right, it was like, then he started attacking me. And I was like, all right, but proof's out there.
But if that was in a bar, that's the equivalent of you standing up in between us and saying, you want to fight somebody, fight me. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's
the
story of how we got married.
Finally. We finally got married once Twitter was invented. Thanks for joining us today. If you had a great time, let us know on social. Follow Kid Is In School on Twitter and The Kid Is In School on Instagram. Subscribe so you don't miss our next episode. Be sure to throw us one of those 5-star ratings and share with your friends. Oh, and do it quickly before the kid gets home.